What are you looking for example?
Well, I need a dresser.
I'm at my friend Tammy's house looking online at dressers, couches, dining room furniture, all the things I need to furnish my new home. It's not an experience I expected to have after 9 years living with roommates in Windsor Terrace brownstone, at least not one I expected to have while living in New York City.
I like those kind of Euro lounge looks, but I want to...
Me too.
Yeah. I don't know how comfortable that kind of futon is. Yeah.
Totally uncomfortable.
I did not win millions in the lottery, but I did enter and win a spot on a waiting list to buy a below-market price apartment through the state's Mitchell-Lama housing program. Buildings in the program periodically hold these lotteries to fill out waiting lists that can last a few months or a few decades. As people move out, or as in my case, die, those on the waiting list have a chance to buy the apartments. With homes in neighborhoods like Bed-Stuy selling for millions, programs like these help people like me, a single 32-year-old public radio employee, stay in the city she loves.
This is a perfect housing for us.
Tammy is the one who encouraged me to enter the lottery after seeing a notice about it in her own Mitchell-Lama building. Tammy, her husband Rob, and their daughter Rhea have been living there since 2006. Rob grew up in the same building, and after 20 years on the waiting list, an apartment opened up for him and his new family. Tammy says the program has made living in an upscale neighborhood like Brooklyn Heights possible.
We're able to live in a beautiful neighborhood. We are able to save for retirement. We're able to provide our daughter with cultural experiences, classes.
The Limited Profit Housing Companies Act was passed in 1955. It got its more popular name from the bill's co-sponsors, former Manhattan State Senator McNeil Mitchell and former Brooklyn Assemblyman Alfred Lama. Ingrid Gould Ellen is the director of NYU's Furman School for Housing Policy.
There was a sense that it was filling a gap to some extent, that the federal government was providing some subsidized housing already for lower-income households, but there was no program, or not as many programs, available for moderate and middle-income households.
Until 1978, developers got tax credits and low-interest loans to build housing for low- and middle-income buyers and renters. 140,000 units were built, making it the most successful affordable housing program in the state's history. Technically, the program still exists. It's no longer funded by the state, but lawmakers are looking for ways to keep the buildings affordable. Back in Brooklyn Heights, Tammy's talking about her luck finding and staying in the ideal neighborhood.
The whole building is like a community. We have Halloween parties for the kids. The older people have exercise classes. There's a book club here.
But before the book clubs, classes, and friendly chats in the laundry room, there's the wait list. While on the list, you should spend that time saving because you have to buy your apartment in cash. No mortgages allowed. Real estate transactions in New York almost always involve credit and background checks. But my building's co-op board also hired a security company to visit my home and basically check to see if I was a hoarder and to confirm all the personal details on my application. While many residents in New York complain there aren't enough programs like Mitchell-Lama, Howard Husok of the Manhattan Institute argues that there's already way too much affordable housing.
If you put together public housing and rent-stabilized housing and other forms of subsidized housing, New York has far more affordable housing, that is, housing protected from the free market, than any other city in the United States.
He says the resulting real estate market has created a frozen city.
In public housing, in rent-stabilized housing, people who have aged in place, their children may have gone, they have more bedrooms than they need, but they stay there.
Husok's right. Barring death or an extremely advantageous marriage, I'll probably never leave my apartment. My 600-square-foot one-bedroom with a balcony in Brooklyn Heights cost me just over $38,000, and that's just too good a deal to give up. For WNYC, I'm Tracy Hunt.